I can't do it on my own.
I can't do this on my own. I lay my life before your throne. I will follow you wherever you lead. If I lose sight of the path, be the road that takes me back. Lord, be everything to me.
Thank you, Jesus.
If I lose sight of the path, Lord, be the road that takes me back. Lord, be everything.
Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 28 and verse 5. Acts 28 and 5. I'll read you one verse now. I'm going to come back to this passage later and walk you through this. Speaking of Paul, bit by a venomous viper, a snake, and he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Would you read this with me? And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Lord, I come before you tonight, a God that is harmless, guiltless, blameless. Hallelujah. You gave your life as a dove, Lord, that would give its life, as a sheep before a slaughter, and yet you opened not your mouth. You know how to protect your own, God. You said, I'm the door of the sheepfold. Any man come up any other way is a robber and a thief. You're not going to let anybody in the door that don't belong there. I'm thankful for the safety that there is in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for all you're doing and all you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. You can take a lot of things from me, but one thing you can't take is my salvation. You can rob me of everything you want to, even my sanity, but you can't rob me of my salvation. I want to talk about it all comes out. Not in the wash. In the fire. It all comes out when it gets hot. Yeah, it all comes out. Fire is a burning of fuel, whether it be wood, gasoline, carpet. It doesn't matter. I didn't know cars could burn, but Lord, car motors burn. I don't know. They just burn up. And fire can be used many times to separate things, and it's used for purification. And there's nothing more useful and yet nothing more harmful than fire. Your car won't run without fire. That's right. Say, it's not getting any fire. But I tell you what, we had a lawnmower one time, and my good brother, he said, we couldn't figure out the spark plug. We were just kids, you know, and couldn't figure out the spark plug or the condenser. You know, we knew how to fix everything on them lawnmowers. And so he said, here, you hold this plug while I pull that string. You ever done that? I said, it is working. It's working. It's getting the fire. Hallelujah. Fire. Yeah, I just give you a little Bible trivia. When was the first time fire was mentioned in the Bible? Anybody? I had to look it up, so I'm not acting smart tonight. Believe it or not, I will turn you to Genesis chapter 19, verse 24. And the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire. Where did it come from? From the Lord out of heaven. There's a fire in heaven too, whether you know it or not. Hell ain't the only thing on fire. That fire in heaven will separate. It'll cleanse. It'll purify. He did that to burn out the land. He consumed everything, the trees, the animals, everything, so it could grow up green again. Fire. Jeremiah said, when he said, I'm tired of prophesying all these bad things. It's sometimes I get to say, Lord, give me one of them great stand-up kind of messages. And he said, I just got to keep preaching what he gives me. And so sometimes I feel like, well, I'll just shut up and let somebody else preach. But Jeremiah tried that, and so he said it was like fire shut up in my bones. Lord, he said, I had to let it out. Whether people like it or lump it or get behind the door and bump it, it don't matter. You got to let it out. So fire is it's used to consume evil. It's used to purify the land and people. Jesus was also the first person to mention fire as hell or the grave. See, hell in the Old Testament was always the grave. Though I go into hell, David said, that was the grave, thou art there. Right? And many people think he said, I'm going into hell like the place of torment. Well, I'm not saying his spirit's not everywhere, but that's not where he wants to be. Those are people he's left alone, people he's forsaken. So Christ was the first one to say that if you call your brother a fool, he said, you're in danger of hell fire. That's what he said. And so the glory of God, even in the Old Testament, did not show up until the fire came down and consumed the sacrifice. You first had to have the fire, and it took up that bloody thing, that contaminated thing, and then the purity of God would come down once the fire had taken away the sacrifice. And even Elijah said, we're going to define God by fire, right? We're going to define him by fire. The God that answers by fire, let him be God. And after Baal had prayed, you know the story, no fire came. And so, I hate to say it today, but he was a little smart aleck. You know, Elijah said, well, where's your God now? You know, maybe he's on a journey. You know, maybe you need to cry out louder and all this. So when it got to be his turn, tell me he wasn't a little smart aleck. Pour some water on it. Yeah, barrels of water in a dry land. There was a drought going on. That water was at a high price. Pour water on it. Soak it. It was so much water they poured on it, it was in the ditches. And when the fire came, let God be God, he said. And when the fire came, it took up not only the water, but the stones too. It is our God is a what kind of fire? A consuming fire. Hallelujah. It was the fire that talked to Moses out of a burning bush, and the bush was not consumed. Hallelujah. It was not the mantle or the anointing that had parted Elijah from Elisha. What was it? A fiery chariot came between them and made him back up, and the Lord took him up in a whirlwind, not the fiery chariot, a wind. Hallelujah. Some of these things in kids we didn't learn quite right. John the Baptist said there was one coming after him whose shoe latches he was not worthy to bear. He said, I do indeed baptize under repentance, but there's one coming after me. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with the fire. Hallelujah. Ain't nothing make you run like fire. And no, somebody says, fire, I'm telling you, you can't get through the exit quick enough. Fire, fire. So when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one place in one accord, and suddenly there appeared to them cloven tongues like as a fire. Hallelujah. And so it's not just the Holy Ghost. I'm excited about the Holy Ghost, but let me tell you, without the fire, you ain't really a whole lot better off. If you don't have the excitement, the separation, the purification, and all the things that fire can do in the spirit sense, you're really not much better off. No. You're not much better off. And so it is the fire. It's not really the Holy Ghost that purifies you. It's the fire that purifies you. It's the fire that separates you. It's the fire that gets me excited about this thing. Not just the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Ghost. And he said he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and baptize you with fire. Hallelujah. This thing completely consumes me. I don't know about you, but I wake up day and night. I'm just consumed with living for God. No wonder Jesus said, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, meaning it has consumed me. I'm on fire. Hallelujah. Anybody else on fire? Amen. I'm on fire. Let's look at what Paul said, because it's all going to come out in the what? The fire. 1 Corinthians 3:11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid. It's already been laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Notice, three types of metals, three types of wood type products. Every man's work shall be made manifest. We're going to find out what it is, whether of what of these six things it is. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed. You can tell me that's gold if you want to. You can tell me you're silver if you want to. You can tell me, oh, I'm a precious saint, all you want to. But the fire will determine what you are. It will be made manifest. It will declare. You can't really declare it. I've heard a lot of people say, Peter said, Lord, I'll never forsake you. He declared that day. He said, you don't know what you're made of. And so we ourselves don't know until the fire comes and the trial comes. And he said, and the fire shall try every man's work, what sort it is. Not only your work, but, you know, other people. You work in other people's life and they're a product of you. And you know what? Every man that works with anybody else, that work will be tried by fire to see what it's made of. Let's read a little further. And if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. In other words, he too has been through the fire. Yeah, he too has been through the fire. And he too, you see, those first three things that mentioned, gold, silver, and precious stone, the hotter they get, the more pure they get. The other ones, the more hot it gets, the more they are consumed by the fire. And the Apostle Peter knew a few things about fire and fiery trials. And somebody tonight may feel like everything in your life's on fire. Well, Peter has something he wants to tell you. 1 Peter 1 and 7. That's a trial of your faith being more precious than of gold that perisheth. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. No matter what you're going through, you see, it will make manifest whether you're going to give praise to God or not praise to God. Right? Whether you're going to last or you're, it's all going to come out. Somebody, hear me. It's all going to come out in the fire. And so I want to turn your attention as I journey with Paul tonight, and I told my wife coming, I'd love to preach a series on Paul's journey and take each destination that he went to and teach a series on that. But tonight we're going to take one of his short journeys, very tragic journey, and I will start at Acts 27 and 44, and this will be the shipwreck or the end of a shipwreck after many days and nights at the sea, and he's told them, don't leave the ship. Now, he's a prisoner running the ship. And he's telling them, I told you you shouldn't sail from Crete. Now, here we are going through all this. But I tell you what, there's one that stood by me this night that told me be a good cheer, that nobody's life would be lost if you stay in the ship. And I'm here to tell somebody that same thing. If you'll stay in the ship, you won't be lost. And so this is the end of that story. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. So this is another chapter in the story of a man's life that's been through hell and high water. And yet he continues to escape death. And those that with him escape with him. It pays to stay around blessed folks, whether you know it or not. And so he's escaping death, and he's preaching the gospel, whether it be in bonds, and he said, oh, King Agrippa, I wish that you were like I am, except for these bonds. It didn't matter if he was free or if he was bound, if he was in prison, right? He was all about the kingdom of God. So I'd keep him alive too. If you talk about an MVP of the Bible, that's him. Without him, we don't have a lot of the books of the Bible. So I'd keep him alive too. God want to keep you alive? I mean, come on. Does he really want to keep you alive? Are you that valuable to the kingdom of God? He said, you know, if I let them die, Lord, there's no praise in the grave. I better keep him alive. We need to be valuable. That if we're not there, something's going to be missing. Mm-hmm. And so this same man is kept alive that helped stone Stephen. That's right. But he's kept alive to be a witness to the Gentiles, a Jew, a witness to the Gentiles. And so now we find Paul along with all these other prisoners, and they're all being washed up, if you will, on the seashore. I can just see, and you can imagine in your mind, this is the wind has torn the back end of that ship up, and finally it goes to pieces. And he's like, grab a board. If there was an ice chest, get it. Whatever you can find that's floating, you get on it. And they were grabbing pieces of the old wooden ship, holding on to life preservers as the tide or the waves was blowing them steadily toward the shore. Now, I don't know if you've probably never been stranded like that, but you've got to be tired. I know some of y'all probably tired tonight, but you ain't tired compared to this tired. I'm telling you, this is tired. This is wearisome. You're a prisoner. I mean, it's like, good thing he said be a good cheer, because it's very hard to be cheerful in this situation. And I don't know if you've ever felt like you've barely made it before. I mean, grabbing a hold of a piece, it's not like, okay, y'all fasten your life jackets, we're fixing to sink. No, it's grab what you can and it washes. They like barely made it. And I don't know if you know what it's like to barely make it. I'm not talking about where you barely passed high school, but you get to wear the cap and gown with all the straight A students. And you say, well, I barely made it, but Lord, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where you barely made it. If it hadn't have been for the Lord who was on my side when men rose up against me, then they had swallowed me up quick when their wrath was kindled against me. I will look into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the... I barely made it. Barely made it. And so I'm talking about people that are washed up on the shore wondering if the sun's going to shine tomorrow. What is this place? Where are we anyway? I was headed to Rome. And I'm ending up here. And so he's washed up and he ends up on this island inhabited by barbarians. He shouldn't have said, I'm to the barbarians, I'm barbarian, to the Greek, I'm Greek. He shouldn't have said that. Because now he finds himself fulfilling what he said. Now he's going to be with the barbarians. But he was headed to be with the Romans. He was headed to be with the intellect, and he finds himself with the ignorant. And so let's read a little further. Let's go to the next chapter. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. Again, Paul was headed not to Melita, but to Rome. He said, in one place he said, I must see Rome. And now he's looking at Melita. You ever thought in your life, I'm going to be such and such at this place in life. And you wake up and you're not there. You thought you'd be further along than you are now. And you thought you would, and now you realize you're at Melita with these folks that are just ugh, and you know, they're shooting bows and arrows and primitive, savage people. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. They obviously were not cannibals. Showed us no little kindness, for they kindled, I want you to stay with me tonight, they kindled a fire. Oh, they started it. It's all going to come out in the fire, but he didn't start the fire. They started it. And for they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain. It's Hurricane Rita to them. It's still raining. It's still blowing. And it was cold. When Rita came through, it was summer and I got so cold. Man, it got really hot after that, if y'all remember that. Paul didn't, you know, he gets out, there's no fire. He doesn't have a cigarette lighter or a box of matches. And he thinks, well, let me light a fire here. He's wet. And the board he rode in is wet. Everything is wet. It has rained everywhere. And it's cold. And he looks around and he sees a little spark. And there's some people there that say, come over here. Thank God for people that take you in that don't know you. No wonder he said you entertain angels unawares. A stranger, and I took him in. Whew, hallelujah, it's another great message. It's wet and it's cold. These people are ignorant, but they know how to start what he can't. Never belittle people. They all can add something to your life. Yeah, I'd clap my hands too. Everybody can add. You're not so smart that the most ignorant person can't add something to your life. And they showed great kindness to them. And so we read a little further. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Paul was a helper. He could have just stood by and say, can you make that fire a little hotter? I'm still cold. Make it bigger. But Paul, he's eating what he said. He said, if you don't work, you don't eat. He said that in another place. And now if he's going to get warm, he's got to pick up sticks. Too many people want to warm themselves by your fire, and they don't want to add to your fire. They just want to use your fire. And so the fire was kindled, but it was up to him to build it up. And he didn't wait on anybody. He just started gathering up some sticks. He gathered up some wood for the fire. And I'm telling you what's good about gathering up sticks, Brother Buller, cutting logs, it warms you twice. Once when you cut it, and once when you burn it. He was getting warm by doing the work. You can stand around all you want to, you might as well do something. You might as well do something and warm up. And so he's gathering this wood up, a bundle of sticks to lay him on the fire, and this viper warmed up too. He was in the wood. And the Bible says he didn't just bite him and let him go. It fastened. I wish you could get the picture. If I'd had time, I'd have went to Walmart and got me a big old snake. I might do that to those kids. They'll be running down them steps. Take that snake. It's fastened to him. He's like, oh, look at here, you know. What do you think you're doing, little fella? That's what I say too. Thank the Lord. That guy was holding on to Paul in his hands, and he was the victim of this venomous snake. All he was trying to do was help. You ever been bit by just